Okay, Deuteronomy chapter 17, if you would care to stand as we read it, that would be appropriate. Deuteronomy 17. You shall not sacrifice to the Lord your God an ox or a sheep which has a blemish or any defect, for that is a detestable thing to the Lord your God. If there is found in your midst in any of your towns which the Lord your God is giving you, a man or a woman who does what is evil in the sight of the Lord your God by transgressing his covenant and has gone and served other gods and worshipped them, or the sun or the moon or any of the heavenly hosts which I have not commanded, and if it is told you and you have heard of it, then you shall inquire thoroughly. And behold, if it is true and the thing certain that this detestable thing has been done in Israel, then you shall bring out that man or that woman who has done this evil deed to your gates, that is, the man or the woman, and you shall stone them to death. On the evidence of two witnesses or three witnesses, he who is to die shall be put to death. He shall not be put to death on the evidence of one witness. The hand of the witnesses shall be first against him to put him to death, and afterward the hand of all the people. So you shall purge the evil from your midst. If any case is too difficult for you to decide between one kind of homicide or another, between one kind of lawsuit or another, and between one kind of assault or another, being cases of dispute in your courts, then you shall arise and go up to the place which the Lord your God chooses. So you shall come to the Levitical priest or the judge who is in office in those days, and you shall inquire of them, and they will declare to you the verdict in the case. And you shall do according to the terms of the verdict which they declare to you from that place which the Lord chooses. And you shall be careful to observe according to all that they teach you, according to the terms of the law which they teach you, and according to the verdict which they tell you you shall do. You shall not turn aside from the word which they declare to you, to the right or to the left. And the man who acts presumptuously by not listening to the priest who stands there to serve the Lord your God, nor to the judge, that man shall die. Thus you shall purge the evil from Israel. Then all the people will hear and be afraid, and will not act presumptuously again. When you enter the land which the Lord your God gives you, and you possess it, and live in it, and you say, I will set a king over me like all the nations who are around me, you shall surely set a king over you whom the Lord your God chooses. One from among your countrymen you shall set as king over yourselves. You may not put a foreigner over yourselves who is not your countryman. Moreover, he shall not multiply horses for himself, nor shall he cause the people to turn to Egypt to return to Egypt to multiply horses, since the Lord has said to you, you shall never again return that way. Neither shall he multiply wives for himself, lest his heart turn away, nor shall he greatly increase silver and gold for himself. Now it shall come about, when he sits on the throne of his kingdom, he shall write for himself a copy of this law on a scroll in the presence of the Levitical priest. And it shall be with him, and he shall read it all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, by carefully observing all the words of this law and these statutes, that his heart may not be lifted up above his countrymen, and that he may not turn aside from the commandment to the right or to the left, in order that he and his sons may continue long in his kingdom in the midst of Israel. Thus reads God's word. You may be seated. Deuteronomy 17:1. You shall not sacrifice to the Lord your God an ox or a sheep which has a blemish or any defect, for that is a detestable thing to the Lord your God. This morning, we find once again the instructions to the children of Israel concerning their sacrifices, and the fact that the animals that were to be sacrificed needed to be without blemish. We have spent time with this in the past as we've read through both Leviticus and Numbers, which contained this mandate from the Lord. However, There must be some precise reason that the Lord had to stress this over and over again with his people. And that fact is something that needs to be stressed again and again and again, even in this day in which we live. One of the predominant reasons that God had to make such a stand for the purity of the sacrifice to be offered was that they were to represent, in a most basic and less than fulfilling manner, the type of the sacrifice that was absolutely necessary for man to come into a relationship with God that would stand for all of eternity. The animal sacrifices were only marginally effective for short periods of time to cover the sins of the people. They had to be offered over and over and over again. They showed, as did the law itself, that something far greater was needed to put to death the old nature of humanity and establish that brand new nature within those so covered. That, of course, is the blood of Christ, which was willingly shed on the cross of Calvary for anyone who will call upon him for salvation. As that is the case of what these animal sacrifices were to indicate, it meant that they had to be without blemish or any defect. This was because they were the representation of that perfect sacrifice which was to come. They were a continual offering in line with the truth that the faultless sacrifice, the only begotten Son of God, would be pure and sinless and spotless and fully effective to eternally wash away all the sins of each person covered by his blood. Accordingly, nothing but the best and the finest and the unblemished and the most ideal of the flock or of the herd would do so to honor the holiness and the righteousness of the Lord God Almighty. God knew the heart of mankind. There would be that propensity to try to get away with only the minimal and borderline sacrifices of the flock and of the herd. There would be those who would not offer their best, only the meagerly acceptable, if even that. We will read about this attitude of utter disregard for God in a few minutes, when the Lord did call his people to task for their detestable lack of honoring him with the finest of the sacrifices that were to be offered. As a result of knowing this heart of man, God knew that he had to stress this mandate over and over again so that mankind would know and realize just how serious and how vital this was to God. The Lord would take care of and bless the multiplying of the flocks and of the herds if only man would trust and love him sufficiently to follow through with that which would be honoring and right before the Lord God Jehovah. He would make himself fully known as Jehovah Jireh in full accordance with his provision of those perfect and flawless sacrifices. This is fully in line with the truth that he was the one who so graciously gave his only begotten Son as the final, the ultimate sacrifice. This was for you, and it was given for me, and for all those who will accept his so freely offered gift of salvation and eternal life and adoption into the very family of God. The Lord was very direct in his mandate concerning the animals to be sacrificed unto him. He did not leave any leeway or room for misinterpretation or for the human capacity to create some ambiguity about what was really required of mankind. This is one of the main grounds for why the Lord had to stress this over and over and over and over again. No misunderstanding. No wiggle room. There was no way for men to say that they did not know what the Lord required. Consider one of the first times that this mandate of the Lord was pronounced unto the people in Leviticus 22, verses 20 through 25. Please open to it so we can read it together for the full emphasis of what was required of the people as unto the Lord. Leviticus 22, 20 through 25. Whatever has a defect, you shall not offer, for it will not be accepted for you. And when a man offers a sacrifice of peace offerings to the Lord to fulfill a special vow, or for a freewill offering of the herd or of the flock, it must be perfect to be accepted. There shall be no defect in it. Those that are blind or fractured or maimed or having a running sore or eczema or scabs, you shall not offer to the Lord, nor make of them an offering by fire on the altar to the Lord. In respect to an ox or a lamb which has an overgrown or stunted member, you may present it for a freewill offering, but for a vow it shall not be accepted. Also anything with its testicles bruised or crushed or torn or cut, you shall not offer to the Lord or sacrifice in your land, nor shall you accept any such from the hand of a foreigner for an offering as the food of your God, for their corruption is in them. They have a defect. They shall not be accepted for you. It is obvious from this passage that God was very, very serious about what he would accept in the sacrificial animals and what would not be accepted by him. In truth, if a man offered a sacrifice that God had already stated plainly he would not accept, what was the point? Yet man did offer those animals that were unacceptable, apparently thinking that God did not really mean what he stated so succinctly and repeatedly. This was ignoring that which God so clearly stated about these sacrifices over and over again, as in Deuteronomy 15:21. Deuteronomy 15:21, "But if it has any defect, any such as lameness or blindness or any serious defect, you shall not sacrifice it to the Lord your God." What we want to take to heart is the fact that we as humans have the tendency to express our attitude toward the Lord in ways that are not at all pleasing to him. Even as his elect and his adopted children, we are prone to manifest outlooks and feelings which express less than a heart of utmost love to the Lord God Almighty, who has saved us unto himself. This attitude was evident as his chosen nation completely turned their back on him with disdain while still trying to fulfill the sacrificial requirements. They did so with the most despicable heart that willingly and purposefully sacrificed the lame and the sick and the unwanted of the flock and the herd. It was with the idea that at least they were doing what they had been taught was the minimal offering of their time and of their herd and flocks to some nebulous deity of their heritage. That was the attitude that caused the Lord to make such a vigorous refutation against his people through the prophet Malachi at the end of the Old Testament. It marked the end of the Lord speaking to the nation of Israel for over 400 years. He withdrew his counsel as the nation was disdainfully uninterested in doing those things which would bring God honor and praise and worship and adoration. He would not again visit his people with his expressed immediate presence until the advent of the birth of his only begotten Son on this earth. The final book of the Old Testament testifies against the nation of Israel. In Malachi 1:8, "But when you present the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And when you present the lame and sick, is it not evil? Why not offer it to your governor? Would he be pleased with you, or would he receive you kindly, says the Lord of hosts?" The people would dare never offer the lame and the sick and the blind animals to their human leaders, because they would not be received at all with graciousness and kindness. The leaders would take it as an affront and would deal severely with those miscreants, meting out extreme harshness and malice upon them. Yet these were the sacrifices that were regularly being given to the Lord God, Creator of heaven and earth. The people had no more regard for him than as an obligation of custom and religious duty. That which was to be solemn and honoring and recalling the power and the majesty and the awesomeness of God and the need to repent before him became merely a social activity to appease the family members and the religious leaders. If the sacrifices were not made at the appropriate times of the year, then the community would look on that offending person with disdain and with judgment. Better to offer something, no matter how defiled and useless, than to be seen as not doing at least the minimal requirements of the religiosity of that day. There was no regard for God. No regard for what he had done for them throughout their history. He was relegated to nothing more than religious stories told to the children to keep them in line. God no longer mattered in the hearts of his people. Again, hear the Lord's absolute rebuke through the prophet in verses 13 and 14 of this first chapter. Malachi 1:13-14. "You also say, 'My, how tiresome it is,' and you disdainfully sniff at it, says the Lord of hosts. And you bring what was taken by robbery, and what is lame or sick, so you bring the offering. Should I receive that from your hand, says the Lord? But cursed be the swindler who has a male in his flock and vows it, but sacrifices a blemished animal to the Lord. For I am a great king, says the Lord of hosts, and my name is feared among the nations. We can hear the lament of the Lord as he tells his people that they were so dishonoring him as to bring not only the lame and the sick, but that which wasn't even their own. They were bringing the sacrifices that they had stolen in order to not reduce their own flocks and herds. This was the vile profanation of that which was to show honor and praise and worship unto the Lord. It was extremely apparent that these people had no regard and even utter disdain for the majesty and the power and the glory and the honor of God. They brought before him that which they would never bring to their own leaders. They considered these sacrifices as merely the ritual custom of their heritage, with absolutely no thought of how it was actually offensive to do this unto God. The Lord was so indignant that he had to tell them forcefully that he is the Lord God Almighty, the King of kings and Lord of lords. He should be regarded with even greater honor and dignity and consideration than any earthly ruler. This is another restatement of that which the people had already been told earlier throughout the Scriptures, as in Proverbs 15, 8 and 9. Proverbs 15, 8 and 9. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is his delight. The way of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but he loves him who pursues righteousness. In bringing stolen sacrifices, and in putting before the Lord those offerings that were clearly unacceptable, the wickedness of the heart of man was on obvious and malicious display. Here is the plainly evident attitude that God does not matter. None of the sacrifices brought before him mattered as to whether he accepted them or not. They just did not care. Before we voice our indignation toward the vileness of this nation in its utter disregard for the Lord, please take to heart what our sacrifices of praise indicate for our regard for the Lord. How do we come before him as his chosen people in Jesus Christ? Are we offering praiseworthy worship as his people? With what attitudes do we bring our tithe or any freewill offering which show that all that we have belongs to him? Do our prayers honor him, or do they serve to try to build up our stance in the midst of his people? There is so very much that we need to investigate in our hearts and our minds unto the Lord before we condemn the practices of the people for whom these warnings and requirements were published. You see, we need to take to heart these very warnings as our own. While we no longer bring to the Lord actual animals as our offerings unto him, we do need to consider the final sacrifice that He made for all of us. Are we honoring Jesus, the only begotten, as we gather in His name? Are we making known to our Heavenly Father the full gratitude that we have for His so freely offered gift of salvation? Are we pleasing the Holy Spirit in our absolute obedience as He makes the Word of God alive in our beings? These are just a few of the questions that should be working in our spirits and in our hearts as we dwell on these passages of that which is and is not acceptable and honoring before the Lord God Almighty. We must ever keep at the forefront of our conscious walk on this earth the truth of who God is and all that He has done for and in us by the death and the resurrection of His only begotten Son. That must never become something that we take for granted and that we push into the recesses of our memories. Let us consciously and constantly cherish the work of Christ's perfect sacrifice as we bring those unblemished offerings of worship and joy-filled praise unto Him. Our tithes and our offerings above that which is required should show the reality that all we have is God's to use as He deems best. Hold in our hearts the admonition of the writer to the Hebrews in Hebrews 9:13 and 14. Hebrews chapter 9, verses 13 and 14. For if the blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling those who have been defiled sanctify for the cleansing of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without blemish to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? This must cause us to treasure and to appreciate the sacrifice of God on our behalf. He personally paid the price for our cleansing, and therefore He deserves the entire focus of our offerings and our sacrifices unto His glory and His honor. The Apostle Peter closes this morning for us. It is with his encouragement to us of the tremendous working mercy and grace and love of the Lord God Almighty on our behalf. We find this recorded in 1 Peter 1, 17 through 19. 1 Peter 1, 17 through 19. And if you address as Father the one who impartially judges according to each man's work, conduct yourselves in fear during the time of your stay upon earth, knowing that you were not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile way of life inherited from your forefathers, but with precious blood as of a lamb unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. So be it. You shall not sacrifice to the Lord your God an ox or a sheep which has a blemish or any defect, for that is a detestable thing to the Lord your God. Amen.